welcome you. Again, God is so good. Amen. His mercy endures forever. I woke up this morning, and let me tell you what was the first thing I heard. I heard these two things. I heard real clear by the Spirit. The first one, love God with all your might, with all your soul, and then love people. And that's it, right? The Bible talks about the whole law. Think about it. It's based on that. We read the Bible, we read the Old Testament, we read the New Testament. And yet Jesus was talking about these two men. Do you love God? Well, you're here. I believe you do. Amen? But then the next one is love people. Amen? And so if we do that, right? Now it sounds simple, doesn't it? Yeah. It sounds very simple. We love God and people. Glory to God. And so I just woke up with that. I say, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Well, I'm having a real good day. I thank everyone that has been praying for me. I've been going through a lot of pain. pain. And today I feel real good. And they did a procedure. I understand. Epidural long, blah, 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 blah. But my healer is the Lord. Amen? And so it is so good. And to wake up this morning and not to be in excruciating pain is such a blessing. Amen? So I'm on top of the world. Amen? I believe today is the day to receive whatever the Lord has for you. Right? I can do all things. Right? That's how I feel today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Amen? So I just pray that you receive that as well. Whatever you're going through. Amen? God is our healer and deliverer, and it's a good day. And sometimes we just don't enjoy good days, right? Because the fear that things are going to go bad steal from that joy. Amen? So I'm here not thinking whether I'm going to hurt tomorrow or not. Amen? Today is a good day. Amen? No fear, no pain, right? We're just going to worship the Lord. We got all the children. The Lord's going to do great things this morning. Receive from the presence of the Lord. It's not by mistake you're here. Amen? So we take advantage, okay, that what the Lord is going to be doing. Amen? So let's all stand and go to the Lord in prayer and enter into His presence. Amen. The Lord has handpicked you to be here this morning because He loves you. Amen. And He wants to work things through you and in you. Right? He works all things for my good. Amen. Jesus worked all things for my good. And God is so good, and God is faithful. Amen. So we'll bless and honor. We have our missionary, Linda, the missionary from Honduras, the body of Christ. Yes. This body, we support and bless them for years, and they're doing a wonderful. So she just surprised me this morning with her children and grandchildren, right? Granddaughter. And so we're honored to have you. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we enter into your presence knowing that you are already here. We love you so much, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're welcome to move through the music, through the singers, through the dancers. Lord, you move. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Thank you for healing. Thank you, Lord, for peace. Thank you, Lord, for breakthrough. Thank you, Lord, for the baby we're going to dedicate today. Thank you, Lord. It is a good day. And so, Lord, we just praise you. And yes, Lord, we love you and we love people. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to stay in that mindset of loving you and loving people. And Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Saturday, I had a dream of I was a little girl again, and I used to hang out with Miss Diane in the back of the church when I was little sometimes, and she used to bring, on special occasions, she would bring her shofar, and for those of you that don't know what that is, it's this, like, I don't know if it's like a ram's horn, it's a ram's horn, and they used to sound it before like a gathering, like to signal a battle, anything like that. And Miss Diane used to bring it with her, and she would sound it at, like, not like a specific time, but whenever she felt led to. And as a little girl, I thought that was just like one of the most amazing sounds. It just brought me chills even as like a child. And I just wanted to share that. What I got from it is the Bible tells us to have faith like a child, but what does the warfare of a child look like as well? Like, there's children in here that are really young, and they still have that calling to warfare for whatever that might look like as just a prayer in their eyes. And for us, it's a little different, but to still have that faith like a child, even through your warfare, I believe that's something I was supposed to share. I don't know who need to hear that. It's something I wanted to share with you guys. So.
You are coming with the Holy Spirit.
this song to On My Heart. And that dream that Olivia Hanley actually shared, she shared it on Thursday on our practice night with the dance team and with us. And I thought it was a beautiful thing. And to have childlike faith in our worship and come before the Lord like a child. There's something I wrote down, actually. I'm just going to read it because I feel like... So, when Jesus was ministering on earth, when he was here ministering to people, people brought forth their children, and you guys probably remember the story. The disciples rebuked the parents who were like, bring their children before the Lord to get their hands laid on them. And Jesus said, no, let the children come to me, because it's children, people such as these, as children, that's who the kingdom belongs to. And we're singing, we dance, we shout, we lift up our voice, let your kingdom come down. I feel like Pastor George was sharing last week in that awesome message about, he shared a small bit about our worship. And just how sometimes we hold back in our worship because we're so consumed by how we look, how we feel, how it will look to other people. But when children get around music, they just start to move their bodies. It could be the funniest looking thing, but they just bring forth such joy. And what Olivia was sharing was that even as a child, they can warfare through their worship. And so I just want to encourage the body to let go of the mindsets of what will I look like? I feel silly. You know, what if this? What if that? It's time to move in our childlike faith, the type of faith that Jesus said would inherit the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to such as these, like a child. And so I feel that the Lord would like to invite the children to come up and worship with us. But also, if you're sending your kids up here, if they're going to come up and worship, don't let these children out worship you this morning, okay? The kids will move, the kids will dance, they grab banners, I've seen them do it, but don't let them out worship you this morning. We have the opportunity to come forth and war in the spirit. And I just want to bring forth one more example. When we think of King David, who after victory came before the whole kingdom, undignified, worshiping the Lord, his own wife was embarrassed by all the movement and worshiping that he was doing, because on the outwardly, it may look crazy, it may look silly, it may feel weird. But when you recognize and come into the mindset that this is for the audience of one, it is for the Lord, there are things happening in the spiritual that our physical needs to just line up with. So, let's just go back and worship. Thank you.
Paul say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This generation's the one that's going to usher the coming of the Lord. Perfect praise is ordained by the children of God. Why is it called perfect praise? Because you can't go wrong. Because the children, that innocence, that pureness, when they praise the Lord, they make straight contact. You see, they are not ashamed. They don't look at that, how do I look? How does this sound? What is this coming? They just enter in, amen? So Father, we pray for that new generation that you're preparing. They will never lose the zeal, the love, the boldness for you. It'll be a generation that will not compromise. It will be a generation that will step out and they will proclaim that you are Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, just cover them, Father. Make them strong. Lord, make them strong in the midst of so much evil. They will be the light and they will shine. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to move. And their sons and daughters will prophesy. And they will stand strong in you. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
There's a lot of times where people who have been in the Word for a while, who have been a Christian for a while, they give you advice on life. And something I heard a lot was you have to leave behind secular music, secular things of the world, secular media, and that is very true. But I feel it's very important to understand what we mean when we say secular, because secular doesn't necessarily mean secular the way we think of it. Secular does not mean evil. Secular means it is not built on a religious or spiritual basis. There is secular media. There are secular songs that promote peace, that promote love, that are okay to listen to as long as you don't idolize it. But there are definitely secular songs that promote evil and hatred that we just have to stray ourselves away from, you know? And I feel like a lot of the times we hear something like, don't listen to secular music. Now you're going to get a new Christian. 90% of his playlist is evil, but 10% is stuff that promotes love, peace, that would be okay as a Christian to listen to, right? There's no need to feel like you need to change your, like, completely. You cannot at all enjoy the things you used to, because as long as it doesn't promote evil, right, you don't have to, like, completely fast from every single thing in your life. And that's okay, because we can enjoy things in the world. We can't enjoy things of the world. And it's important to have that distinction, because so many times we get to where, oh, I can't watch my old favorite show. Well, what's the point in even trying? I'm going to just go back to all my old TV shows. Now they confuse things that don't promote God and things that do promote evil. And that is bad. We cannot have that confusion in our minds. We have to have that discernment to understand. That is why the Lord made recycling. There are things we must throw away, but there are things we could change the purpose of, you know? Because 2 years ago, I may have listened to a song. I may have loved it. I may say, I live for this song. Now I live for Jesus, but I can still enjoy that song as a hobby. It does not define me, but it's something I can enjoy without making it my entire life. We cannot allow new Christians to combine this idea of secular and evil, because secular does not mean evil. And most of the time, secular means people you need to help. So we cannot confuse that with people who do evil or evil things you must stay away from.
And I think as soon as we come to the Lord, we need to understand that our first commandment is to reach out. Amen? And so if we put a wall, I believe that we need, like he was saying, anything that is promoting evil, no. But you need to be there to continue to bring them out. Amen? So we go, we listen, but we minister. Who's going to do it? Amen? Who's going to do it if we completely turn our back, right, to the world? And I think in essence we need to be reminded that just because they're not believers, just because they're not Christian, that we don't turn our back to them. Amen? We need to be there, what? Reaching them out as well. Amen? Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Amen? So again, wisdom, we don't have, like he said, we don't have to be in the world, right? And be of the world. We are of the Lord. But we can still minister. Amen? And we need to bring Jesus to them. And we need to say, okay, let me show you, right? And still not make them feel like they're the plague like we were one time. Amen? So yes, let's get that awareness. Use wisdom. Amen? Where we're going to be there saying, there's a better way, and I'm here to show you. And there's nothing wrong with that. However, there's a little something better I need to share. So if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Amen? So again, wisdom. Wisdom to know that we need to reach out. Amen?
Fight my battle. Good morning, church. How this song says, this is how I fight my battles, that you're not alone. You may feel alone, but you're not alone. And whenever I was waving this flag of the symbol of the flames, it's God representing himself with you. And when I was flaming it, it was surrounding each and every one of us individually. You are not alone, like the song says. You may feel alone, but you're not alone. And he tells me to remind you guys that he is with you, that anything that comes against you guys will not prosper, that anything that's evil will not do any harm to you, because he is with you. He is that flame surrounding you, protecting you, as long as you call out for him as well. So at this moment, I would like to pray for each and every one of you guys. If you guys feel alone, if you guys feel that you are fighting a battle, that you feel that you can't win, I tell you right now, trust in God and you will win it. It may not be in your time, but is it on his time? And his time is perfect. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you. I thank you for speaking to us individually. I thank you for this word that you have given me to bless each and every person here, Lord Jesus. We stand here firm in your presence, Lord, knowing that we are not alone, that you are with us. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the people that are here and the people that are listening to us virtual, Lord Jesus. I bless them and help them understand that you are with them, that they are not alone, that battle has been won, that you have given us the victory, Lord Jesus. As long as we, Lord Jesus, trust in you, everything will be aligned with your word. Thank you for everything you do and everything you continue to do. Amen.
We just ask that you prepare our hearts now for the word and the message, Lord God. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, during this time. We open our ears, our spirits to you, and only you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. It's a special morning, always a special morning when we gather in his name. Amen. But we're going to dedicate a little one. Come on now, Octavio. Glory to God. Yay. This beautiful baby that the Lord has given. Jackie and Andres and the whole family. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yay.
Oh, goodness. Look at that. He's just, look how
he's
handsome. Oh, yes, he is. Hallelujah. He's beautiful.
I claim him.
So beautiful. They change so much. You don't see them like from week to week, right? And then you see it and all that. Glory to God. We got his families here. If you would like to come, come on, join us. Come on, we'll just put you in the spot, that's okay. But it's a family. When we dedicate a child to the Lord, we're saying to the Lord, he's a blessing, we're giving it back to you, amen? Now, the Bible tells us that even Jesus, right? Mary and Joseph brought them and dedicate Jesus. Now, this is Jesus, God, right? But still, they dedicated unto the Lord. And what that does is put a seal, amen? A protection, a covering. And we just tell the enemy, you can't trespass, amen? This is dedicated to the Lord, brought it before the throne of God, and the parents have decided to do that, which is awesome. And so he has a very good start, doesn't he? Amen? I wish I would have been dedicated when I was a child. Would have saved me and a lot of people around me, too, until I came to the light. Amen. Glory to God. So let's do this.
Well, this is Octavio. And he is less than a year, obviously. But his parents, nope, still good. His parents want to dedicate him to the Lord. You know, on the Bible, we read of children being dedicated on the eighth day after they're born. We wait a little longer till they get a little stronger, and then they can stay with Grandpa for a while. So, Father, Lord, we thank you for Octavio. Yes. We thank you, Lord, that you brought him to this world, and you have a plan and a purpose. You have put gifts and talents and abilities within him. Father, you have blessed him with health and provision and protection. And Father, you have a whole plan for his life.
Yes, we do.
So Father, we present him as asked by the parents. Father, we present Octavio to you.
Yes,
we ask, Father, that you protect, that you guide, that you keep him from the traps of the enemy,
yes,
that you form him, continue to develop him into the man of God that you've called him to be. Father, that he would flow in your spirit. Father, that he would come to know you very early in his life. He will invite you to be his Savior and Lord. And Lord, that you would prepare him for the task that you have called him and anointed him. And Father, we pray that your gifts and talents and abilities will start moving through him for the rest of your body, even at an early age.
Yes.
Father, keep him healthy, keep him strong,
yes,
protect him from the all the assailment of the world and the snares of the enemy.
Yes.
And Father, may he come to hear your voice, even at an early age,
yes,
and respond to your commission for him specifically. So Father, receive him, Father, from your parent, from his parents, to you, so that you can have your way and your purpose through him. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And we'll have a voice to cry in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And so it was very strong. And so just like he will have that, he will cry out in the wilderness. And of course, you know, we know the world that though not know the Lord are in the wilderness, but he'll be that voice. And he will be one saying, you know, the way of the Lord. Heed the way of the Lord. And almost like an evangelistic anointing on him. So that is so awesome. Glory to God. And so we seal that word in him that he will be that voice in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. And Father, I just thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Father, we pray for the parents. We pray for the relatives. Father, the close family. Father, we pray that there would be godly examples to Octavio.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, that they would display the love of God, the
yes,
care that you bring to them. Father, that they would in turn care for him and help him to grow healthy and strong in every area of his life. So, Father, give your parents wisdom how to raise him up in the ways of the Lord that he would never depart. And, Father, we bless them and bless the family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we give him a little story, stories of Jesus that even when they're that little, I know that you can read it aloud before you go to sleep. It's going to be good to put that word in him from early, early age. All right. Glory to God. Blessing, and thank you for coming. All right. You all have the bulletin. Glory to God. We were teasing the other day. I say, bulletin is to protect the pastors. You know that? Because when we have things here, you know, and you don't know, we always use it to say, okay, there's the bulletin, there's where the announcements are, right? Okay, at this time, we're going to release the children's to children's church. We'll have communion later on, so I think they're getting ready to go. Glory to God. Can I have my glasses, please? All right. Now, board of directors tonight. So there's a board of directors. There's something you would like to bring and all that. Just contact one of the board of directors at 6. And then the leadership workshop next Saturday, we're excited about it. If you are in a position of leadership in this house or would like to be, you are welcome to come. Michelle is going to be ministering, and I know it's going to be excellent. It's about communication. How many of you know that we can all learn a little bit better, more about how to communicate? Amen? We do. So be here, put it on. And then Olive Branch, next ministry will be Saturday, August 16th at 9 o'clock. Outreach is doing all kinds of things, so try to dot it down and have it. Another thing, too, Brother Carlos is going to start an evangelistic class. It's going to be probably on Tuesdays. Is that what we say, Carlos? Yes. And there's a list on the foyer. If you would like to be in that class, he would like to take no more than 12, and it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be good. It's going to give us tools. One of the things that he's going to be using is the way of the master. How many of you have seen that? We're going to have videos. It's powerful. Sometimes you would like to share the gospel. You would like to minister, but you don't know how. How many of you know that? Kind of shy. I don't know what to say. What if, you know, we kind of... So this is going to help you. He's going to equip you. Brother Carlos have done that for years, and he had an awesome testimony. But that's what the Lord is putting in his heart. And at this time, we need to be equipped. Amen? To equip the saints. For it takes 2 hours. So know that. But again, the put your name there so we know when to start, even though we do have a date, a tentative date, but it will be great. And you will be giving material, and it's going to be great. So we all are called to witness and evangelize, all of us. This is not just Brother Carlos. It's all of us. Amen? Planning for the 19th. Amen? There you go. And so we're going to continue to announce it. And again, just pray to the Lord, I'm sure, you know, Lord. And this will give you tools. And even, you know, you say to go out there in the street, but how about to start with your own family, right? Our own family sometimes are harder to witness about the Lord. So, yes, that's going to be good. Any other announcement that I'm forgetting, though? So, glory to God. Thank you for your gift, a tithes and offering. We don't have a specific time where we pass the plate because we believe the giving is part of your worship to the Lord. And so you bring the your money, your finances to your high priest, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And how many of you know that if the body will not give, we will not be able to have a place to gather? Amen? And so many, many, many ways. Amen? The missionaries that we support every month, that you guys support, and all the things, the ins and outs. So there's a system. So God knew that, right? So he established that in his word to give. Give and it shall be given. Amen? And so not forcing, not condemning, but from the heart, right? Because everything belongs to the Lord. So you take part of that and bless the body of Christ, bless the Lord as an obedience. And you know what? You can never outgive the Lord. Amen? And so we're going to bless that at this time. Father, thank you for the givers. Thank you, Lord, for your people that take from that which you already have given. Everything is yours, Lord, but yet to take it and offer it unto you, Lord. So I pray that you bless the tithes and offering, that you cover it in Jesus' mighty name, my Lord, I pray. And I thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, one more thing. Robin, can you come down here? I'll put you in the spot. And we should have done this some time ago, but this is Robin. We love Robin. We know him since we're there. We're not getting older yet, but he was young and he used to come and all that. Now he is a handsome young man that loved the Lord, and his wife, Suri. Yeah, you can come too. We'll put you in the spot. Come on. So, Robin, the Lord has put in his heart to enter in and help with the sound. Glory to God. Daniel, come on down. And so every part of ministry, every time you put the hands to the plow, every time you, how many of you know that it all works together for the good? Amen? And so I just appreciate, Robin, for you heeding to what the Lord put in your heart and spending time, amen, and being faithful. So we just want to bless you. Right, and bless your beautiful wife. They have a beautiful baby girl too, and we have become real close. But I just wanted you to know that when we do give unto the Lord, the enemy gets kind of upset. We just want to cover you, amen. And I know Daniel appreciate that, and so we want to, a blessing, amen. Because being in the sound and ministering is as important as preaching, praying, being there, being in, amen. Because when everything goes well and you're listening good, but when something goes, whack, where all the eyes go? Boom, right? Or when you can't hear us, where does it go? So thank God for them, right? Thank God for people that says. So we look at it as a ministry, amen? Everything we do in the house of the Lord is ministry unto him. And the Lord wants to bless them for it, but the enemy gets obsessed, so we're just going to cover them, amen? And that's why it's so important. Amen. Glory to God. Go ahead.
Father, we thank you for Robin. Yes. We thank you, Lord, for his heart as a servant. And Father, ones who helps. Father, you have made him one with his wife, Suri. And Father, we just thank you for their heart for you and the things of you and their dedication, Father, for excellence. And Father, to put the hands to the plow in whatever stands before them, Father. And Lord, that's the way you promote each one of us. As we put our hands to what lies before us, yes. Father, you give us the strength to do things right and then promote us to even greater things. So, Father, I thank you for Robin and Suri. Yes. And Father, I thank you especially Robin that is putting his hands on the sound along with Daniel. Father, I pray that they will have the skills and abilities to run the things that need to be run properly. Father, I know it takes a special ear to know when things are right and when they're not. Father, give him the wisdom, the discernment to know. Father, give him creative ideas to improve things so that they will run smoothly. And Lord, give him the strength and the patience to put up with people that don't have patience at all. And Lord, we pray that as they do things unto you, that you will bless them, not just here in this house, but Father, at their homes, at their jobs, wherever they are. Father, you are with them. And Father, use them and continue pouring in them, that they would continue to pour out to those around them. So Father, we speak blessing to Robin, to Suri, and to Daniel, Father, as they run the sound system. And Father, we just thank you for them and the others that are volunteering on that. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. All right.
Yay. All right. Well, the Lord has really worked on me these past 2 days. As I sought his direction as how to go today. And so he's called me to teach on a specific subject. He pointed me to Hebrews chapter 11. And as you probably know, Hebrews 11 is a chapter called, you know, the chapter of faith, where God brags on some of the people in the Old Testament about how they live out their faith, not just because they believe God, but they were willing to die and live out and do whatever God asked them. And so in chapter 11 of Hebrews, the Lord mentions many people who lived and even died living by faith. And it clearly says in the Word that some of them did not receive all the promises. Well, none of them did. All the promises made by God, because God had prepared something better for us so that they should not be made perfect apart from us. In other words, God started working to them and doing a perfecting work on them. And then God wanted us in the new covenant to join with them so that we could all be perfected as one body. And so even though they were looking forward to the promises in full completion, God said, you just got to hold on a minute. I've got some people here in the New Testament that I'm going to bring together. And we all going to be perfected in Christ at some time. And that's coming up pretty soon. So after this mention of these giants in the faith, I'm going to read to you Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1 to verse 14. And I want you to listen carefully and see what the author of Hebrews is trying to connect here, the Holy Spirit talking to us. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, so not the New King James as I usually do. I thought this was more descriptive, better understanding. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplined us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level path for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I'm going to be talking in some aspects here about what the Lord calls holy and holiness and the sanctification process that ought to be happening in each one of us. After bringing a list of people who walk in faith, the Lord talks to us about a race that requires endurance. All of us are going through some kind of battle. And we are in a race, we are in a fight, we are in a war. And God is telling us we need to get rid of sin. We need to get rid of the weights and the sin that so easily entangles us. He tells us that we can become discouraged and quit the race if we don't consider the fact that Jesus went through a lot of opposition in our behalf. He's already fought the battle and he has been declared the victor. Then there is the issue that we have a perfect Father who corrects us because he loves us. And sometimes we don't quite understand that concept. He corrects us because he loves us. Otherwise, he would let us do whatever and we end up in the gutter somewhere. He wants our best because we are his legitimate children if you have received Jesus as your Savior. And then he wants us to partake of his holiness. And he's very clear as that. Then he brings out the point that if we're not holy, we're not going to see God. You know, that talks about in the eternal aspects, you know, if we're not made holy by the sacrifice of Jesus, we will not see God. But then he talks to the Christian today. You know, we want to experience God in a greater measure. But if we're unholy people, unholy Christians, living in unholy ways, then we're not going to be able to perceive the presence of God as we should. Now, I know that this subject of personal holiness is not a popular subject among God's people today. Most of us, not all of us, still walk according to the pleasure of our flesh in some way. We haven't fully crucified our old man, have we? And you know, it tends to happen that we try to put this old man in the altar and crucify him, and he tends to just walk away. Consider the scriptures found in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I pray with you, I implore you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. See, God is, Paul is here imploring us that we need to take control of these bodies and our fleshly desires and present our bodies a sacrifice. A sacrifice always costs us something. And we in this generation, we are so spoiled that we don't want to pay a price for anything. We're always complaining, well, I am, about prices rising up and everything being more and more expensive. Why do I have to pay more? Blah, blah, blah. I sound like an old man, don't I? And yet, you know, Jesus paid a very high price above any price ever in the universe for us to have the ability and the strength and the power to crucify our mortal bodies and present them holy before God, because this body still got the influence of a carnal nature that wants to do its own thing. And usually what it wants to do is wrong, is sin. And so we need to exercise our authority over our bodies and say, no, I know I want that ice cream, but I am not going to have a second helping. I know I want this, I know I want that, but this is not the time for it. And we say no to our flesh. And boy, sometimes it's a struggle, don't we? In 2 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says to the Corinthians, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. That's a strong word. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. In the Old Testament, there were all kinds of rituals before you enter the temple to do anything in the temple. You have to be cleansed. You had to abstain from all kinds of things before even stepping into the temple. And you have to be ceremonially clean before even attempting to go into the temple. That's a picture of where we are. If we want to be led by the Spirit of God on a constant basis, then we need to maintain these bodies in a sanctified way. And boy, there are so many ways to defile our bodies nowadays, isn't it? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says to the Ephesians, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So this is not just a suggestion from the Lord. This is a command. We are called. That is a holy calling for us to be holy and without blame before God in love. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, Peter says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And the Lord said that. So that was not, again, a suggestion. That was a command. We need to be holy. And he says, in all our conduct. We say, well, I don't rob, I don't steal, I don't cuss. Well, is that all your conduct? That's just part of it. 2 Peter 3:11. Peter is talking about the end time when all of this is going to be done away with. And he says, this world is going to be destroyed by fire. You know, and we're here trying to make things last 1,000 years, and God's going to burn it pretty soon. So he says in 2 Peter 3:11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved with the fire that is coming, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? In other words, why are you spending your physical strength to try to maintain stuff that's going to be burnt anyway? And boy, that speaks to many of us. We spend 9-10 hours a day at work, 5-7 days working. For what? I mean, we have to work, but then we don't get to the point that that's all we do. We work to live, we don't live to work, okay? Being holy sounds like an impossible task. And sometimes we say, why even try? I mess up all the time. After a while, we just go with the flow. Everybody does it, so why shouldn't I? We just do what feels good, whether it's right or wrong. And we become not accountable to God anymore, or even to those whom God has placed beside us to be our checks and balances. You know, he's given us family and friends and pastors and overseers to speak into us, and so that we can go and ask counsel But after a while, no, I won't bother them. They're busy. Besides, they're going to tell me exactly what I am not able to do, et cetera, et cetera. You fill the blanks. God has given you accountable people for you to stay accountable to. And he's there, and he gives us even more. In the book of Romans, I want you to consider what was written in the book of Romans, chapter 6. I'm going to read it to you. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanks that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were freed in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Now, I know you heard the word slavery a lot there. And he says, I'm speaking in human terms. And so it's not that God is making us slave. It's that our desire for God is so much that we are just dependent on him for everything. And so we enslave ourselves to the Lord because, after all, he's got all I need. So God is telling us that all of this is a matter of our choice. And boy, we talk about choice a few times lately. And my wife and I were talking yesterday about free will and all of these things. And boy, that's a deep subject. But people are disregarding the point that we are free will agents of God. And we have the right to choose. In fact, you make a choice and God even won't change that choice for you. That's how free you have been made. But now, the choices that we have are either the things of God or the things of the enemy. And so we need to choose God because he wants our best. And we want the best for us as well. The fruit of the right choice is always towards holiness and eventually the enjoyment of eternal life. We're all looking forward to that. In fact, 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So God has given us tremendous promises for us to enjoy, not just in heaven later on, but now as we live here on this world. And he has given us those promises for us to enjoy them. But see, we have to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And we need to perfect walking in holiness because we love God and we know that he requires holiness from us. I'm going to read some more of this New Living Translation on Ephesians chapter 4. So pay attention. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God, the life that God gives, because they have closed their minds and harden their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learn about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbor the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Great revelation. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Boy, he addresses a lot of practical things here. He addresses lying, uncontrolled anger, stealing, foul language, gossip, bitterness, rage, harsh words, slander, and evil behavior. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 11 to chapter 4, verse 8, I'm not going to read it, but that's your homework. The Lord addresses sexual sin. And at the end, he says that he avenges such sins. I want you to read that closely. I know many struggle with sexual sins. And sometimes we feel trapped. We feel like there's no way out. Yes, there is a way out. It costs, but there's a way out. And that means you have to make a determination. There has to be a commitment, like we talked last week. Holiness is an overflow of God's love that works inside of us, protects our behavior, and then spills out of our lives to those around us. So it works in us. It helps project to our outside, so that we're not just holy inside, but we look holy outside. And then it helps us to minister to others. That's what God intends. God wants you and I to be in partnership with him. He wants us to work together with him. And for that, you know, you go to some types of work and they require a uniform. That uniform represents you with that company. Well, God wants you to wear a uniform, and it's called holiness. And that is the process that God is working in us by the Holy Spirit. He's sanctifying us. He's making us holy, just like Jesus walked. As the world becomes more worldly, its influence lures us to be like the world. And many times we yield to it. And it is a constant fight that we have to engage in. We were talking about warfare. That's the warfare. You know, it's not actually taking physical weapons and attacking something or someone. No, it's a battle here. And a lot of times it's a battle here in the mind. And we get tempted and we want to go this way, but we know it's wrong. Oh, but we want it so much. And so we take further steps towards that wrong thing. And then the Holy Spirit says, stop it. That's going to lead to death. And so we back out a little bit and we try to walk the right way. And the brother and the sister then makes us stumble. And we head the other way. You know, it's a constant fight. And you know, soldiers, they have to be alert. And we are walking sort of haphazardly in this world. We come on Sunday and we may be alert for a while, and then we go back to work, to school, to whatever we do on the week, and we get careless and we fall back to the same old dead sinful habits that we have built upon and we are not willing to crucify. Well, God is calling us to a higher calling, and he wants us to be committed and to be serious about being images of Jesus Christ on the earth. And so we need to be obedient to his promptings to resist the temptations of behaving unholy in our daily walk. Now more than ever, we need to learn to hear the voice of our shepherd. See, we're dumb sheep that need to be guided. As much as you may think that you're smart, you're still trapped by the snares of the enemy. God has made us holy in spirit already. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, your spirit is holy and perfect. That is our legal position in Christ. We have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus if we belong to him. Now we need to act out that holiness in our daily activities. And see, that's why one of the reasons he sent the Holy Spirit was to lead us into sanctifying us. Sanctification is set apart. Set apart means becoming holy. The Holy Spirit will lead us in the process of sanctification. And then we can become holy people in every daily experience. So this is the warfare that we're talking and singing about. This is how we fight our battles. It may seem that we're surrounded by the world. But listen, if we are Christians, we're surrounded by the Lord and his angels. Now, because we're free will beings, we can choose to go under the umbrella of the Lord that he has prepared for us, or we can just walk in the camp of the enemy. You know, it's pretty miserably hot out there during the day. And I can, you know, I was talking to somebody this morning, and we can work from 8 to 10 outside, and then after 10, you have to get in or get undercover somehow. Well, sometimes I'm so stubborn that I stay outside longer than I need to. And boy, the sweating, it gets unreal, the heat and all of that. And after a while, if I don't watch it, I can get heat stroke. God has given us a protection against all the attacks of the enemy. And boy, it seems to be very hot out there in the world. And if we're not under the protection of the Lord, we're going to get a stroke, a heat stroke from the enemy. So God is calling us, walk in sanctification. Work on the acts of holiness that you know that you need to modify in your heart. God is working continuously. He doesn't do it all at once, but he goes step by step. You have conquered a few areas in your life, and you have overcome. Now it's time to tackle some others. And so with his help, we'll get to where he wants to lead us. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Thank you that you have given us all things, Lord, to enjoy. And your plan is for us to enjoy fully and completely, even in this life. Lord, we pray that we stay alert, that we stay awake, and Father, that we are willing to sacrifice, bring into crucifixion this flesh who wants to do its own thing that are against you. And so, Father, I pray that as we hear the Holy Spirit challenging us in different areas, we would submit. We would not quench him. We'll submit to him. And Father, with your help, we'll become victorious in you. I bless your people and I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.